We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and we'll read again verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Prayer played a huge part in the life of Christ. Sometimes he prayed alone. Other times he prayed with the disciples. Other times he prayed with the multitudes. And always he was praying in his spirit, praying without ceasing. Prayer should be very important to us as well, vitally important. The best Christians are the most prayerful Christians. The best times in the church are the times when the Christians are most prayerful. Times of revival are times when people, Christian people, give themselves over to prayer in a special way. It's important to remember that you can't become a Christian without prayer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is saving faith? It's calling upon the name of the Lord. It's coming in prayer, in helplessness and hopelessness, and crying for mercy. Tonight I would like us to deal with this subject of prayer and seek to stir up yourselves and myself to more prayer. Because I know if we prayed more, we would be more blessed. We would be better Christians. And we'd be more God glorifying in our lives. Well, first of all tonight, what is prayer? I cannot give you a better definition of prayer than the one that is given to us in the Shorter Catechism. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with a confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Well, that's a very comprehensive summary of what prayer is. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. What's involved in prayer? Well, first there's got to be a consciousness of our needs. And we come to God as the one who's able to answer our needs. So an awareness that we are needy. And then we come asking in the name of Christ. So it's not because we're good, or because we've done this or that, or because we're members of the church, or even because we're needy. The only reason why God should answer our prayers is for Jesus' sake. So it's in the name of Christ. He earned for us on the cross an answer for our prayers. And he intercedes for us in heaven on the basis of his own merits. And then there's something else in prayer, confession of sin. There's to be no covering up of sin, no excuses, but rather opening our hearts to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then there's to be thanksgiving, thanking God for prayers already answered, and thanking God, of course, for all his goodness to us, showering down upon us in his providence, food and clothes and homes and all sorts of blessings, and thanking him for his blessings to us of salvation also. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his Son. So there's to be thanksgiving and praise and worship. And in all our prayers, there's to be a seeking to be submissive to the will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. Now, in the second place, wrong kinds of prayer. We're told here in this chapter about wrong kinds of prayer. Verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The Jews were a very religious people. And amongst a very religious culture and society, it was something that was admired to see somebody who was prayerful. So there would be people out praying in busy places, in the corners of the streets, just like you get the Muslims today. Muslims are a very religious people. And you see them with their prayer mats, and they put down their prayer mats sometimes in very prominent places, wherever they might be at the hour of prayer. And they're showing off that they are praying people. But we're told here, be not as the hypocrites are, who pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. You get some people and they make a great show of the sign of the cross. You see footballers maybe coming on to play their football as a substitute, and they cross themselves. And what is it all about? Well, it's a Roman Catholic form of prayer, this crossing. And they're very public about showing their prayers. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. So our prayers are not praying to man. It's not to make an impression on others. It's not to tell people, look at how holy I am. Think of how prayerful I am. That's not the way it's to be. It's a prayer addressed to God. God must be first and foremost in our minds. And when we have to pray in public, called upon to pray in the prayer meeting, yes, there are people listening to us. But our great aim should be to be far more conscious of God than of those who are listening to us. And when we get liberty in our prayers, we forget those who are listening. And our concern is with our Father who is in heaven. We are to pray to him. So, seeking the praise of men, they get their reward, the hypocrite. They get the praise of men. But what we want is not the praise of men, but the praise of God. And then there's a second kind of wrong prayer. And it's in verse 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetitions, empty words. Words that they've learned off by heart, and they repeat them over. You know, like these people who repeat their Hail Marys, and they're going through them so many times, and the priest has told them to do 20 Hail Marys or whatever it is, and 20 Paternosters, 20 Lord's Prayers, vain repetitions like the heathen, just like the prayer wheels of the Hindus. Our prayers are not to be empty words. And we can all be guilty in that way, of sometimes using words in our prayers without really thinking about it. Maybe saying a grace at mealtime and we're not thinking about what we're doing. And it's vain repetitions and it's not glorifying to God. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. There are some people and they think, well, if they pray for an hour, God will be impressed. If they pray for 2 hours, 3 hours, if they pray for 8 hours, God's going to be really impressed. If they pray all day and all night, they're really going to get an answer to their prayers. But that's putting your trust in mechanics. You sometimes get people forming what's called prayer chains. We should always take our direction from Scripture. You don't get anything in Scripture about prayer chains. Prayer chains is the idea that one person prays for a few minutes and then the chain passes on to somebody else who prays for another few minutes and somebody else for another few minutes. And so the prayer chain goes on and on and on, and this is supposed to have great effect on God. That is treating God as if God was unintelligent. And neither are we to think that if we pray a really long prayer that God is impressed. Sometimes the shortest prayers are the most impressive. Jesus tells us about two people, two men who went up to the temple to pray. And one had a very short prayer, and the other one had a very long prayer. And the man with the long prayer, God didn't answer it. But the man with a short prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, he went to his house justified rather than the other. It's not a good thing to pray for too long. Not a good thing in the prayer meeting to be long in our prayers. We should try and keep them reasonably short. God is not impressed with many words. The heathen, they think they will be heard for their much speaking. Beware of thinking you're going to be heard for your much speaking, or because of any mechanical method in prayer. One earnest prayer in one sentence for one moment can be of more value than hours and hours of empty repetitions and mechanical praying. So we're being taught here about the kind of prayer, the sort of things to avoid, being like the hypocrites, praying to people instead of praying to God, trying to impress people, vain repetitions, much speaking. But there's something else that's spoken of that's detrimental to prayer. It's given in verses 14 and 15. But we really have reference to it in verse 12 as well, where Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There are few things so disgusting to God as to see somebody asking for forgiveness for their sins who won't forgive their fellow men for the things that they do to them. We are to be forgiving. How can we ask for forgiveness ourselves if we retain resentment and hatred towards a brother or a sister? We are to seek to be at peace with all men, to love one another, to let no root of bitterness spring up among us which would trouble us. And when there is disunity and disharmony, you can't expect blessing on your private prayers nor upon the prayer meeting. We need each one of us to forgive those who hurt us. Leave them in God's hands, forgive them, move on, put it behind us. Don't keep resentment towards any Christian. Otherwise, this will be a block on your prayers. So these are some wrong kinds of prayer. And then the right kind of prayer is set before us here. But when ye pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Remember, you're dealing with God. Enter into your closet. Well, of course, there's different kinds of prayer. We can be praying with our spouse sometimes, our husband or our wife. And you know the old saying, those who pray together, stay together. And if we pray together, it's a great basis for marriage. And it's important for us as families to pray as families. I think particularly of a nephew of mine, who was asking him what was the most important influence in his life leading him to his conversion. And he said it was his parents' holding of family worship in the house. Everything committed to God in prayer. And that set the scene for his life. He grew up with prayer being central to his family. And that was a blessing to him. And the prayer meeting is very important, and we're encouraged to come together. That which we pray for together, the Lord has promised to give a special answer to it. Where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That which you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That which you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If you agree on earth concerning anything, it shall be done in heaven. There's great blessing connected with coming together, joining together in prayer. All that is said. But the most basic prayer and the most important prayer is entering into your closet and shutting the door. Entering into your bedroom, wherever it is that you go to pray, to get alone and pray to God. That is basic to our Christian life. When you pray, be not as the hypocrites. Enter into thy closet. Close out as much as you can other people, the world, and the thought of people listening to you, and the thought of what will they think about your prayers. You need to be free, and you need to be honest, and you need to be able to express your heart to God. You need to seek the help of the Spirit. Remember Romans 8, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We have two great helpers when we pray. The Spirit teaching us what to pray for, interceding for us with groanings. And then Christ taking our prayers as the advocate and presenting them before the throne in heaven. We are to seek the help of the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, we're told. We need the help of the Spirit. And it's prayers that come from the Spirit, prayers that come down from heaven, that ascend up to heaven with great effectiveness. And we're to pray in faith. Pray believing, and you shall receive. But what is it to pray believing? What are we to believe? To believe that whatever we want, we will get it, and we will demand it. And we say to God, you must do it, because I want it, and I demand it. Well, Jesus didn't pray like that. Jesus prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes we pray for things that are not according to the will of God. Paul prayed earnestly 3 times that the thorn in the flesh would be removed. But he was told in no uncertain terms that it wasn't God's will. God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You need the thorn. It keeps you humble. What is it to pray in faith? It's to pray believing in God. Believing in the love and mercy of God. Believing in the power of God. Believing that God can do anything. And believing that because God loves us and is merciful to us, he will do what's best. So when we come believing, we come trusting God and that God will do what is best. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm praying for it in this way. Lord, you might give it to me in that way. I'm praying for this thorn to be removed. Lord, you will answer me maybe in giving me grace to bear with a thorn. You know best, Lord, and I submit to your will. So it's knowing that God is able to answer and willing to do what is best for us. That is praying in faith. So we're to pray in faith. We're to come humbly before God. He's the creator, we are the creature. He is the glorious one in heaven. We come as beggars. As beggars. Yet we come with confidence and with boldness. Because it's a throne of grace, and because Christ has died for us, and because we're pleading on the basis of the merits of Christ, therefore, we come with boldness. Humbly, yet with boldness. We come expectantly. We shouldn't view prayer as just a duty. Or with no benefit, we come expecting an answer. We come with praise, worshipping God. And we come with thanksgiving for prayers already answered. And thanksgiving anticipating an answer to this prayer as well. Praying in the name of Christ. Next, what are we to pray for? Well, we're given an idea as to the sort of things we should pray for by the prayer that the Lord Jesus himself has given us. We're given here the Lord's Prayer in verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, in this way, like this, learning from this prayer, So what are the things that Christ teaches us to pray for? First petition, hallowed be thy name. May your name be glorified. May it be honored. May it be adored. Praying first for God to be magnified, to be highly valued, to be glorified throughout the world. Praying words of praise to him. Hallowed be thy name. Then second, thy kingdom come. May your kingdom spread throughout the world. May the kingdom of Satan be destroyed. May the kingdom of grace be advanced. The kingdom of glory be hastened. May King Jesus reign. May many people be converted. May there be revivals. May the kingdom of Christ spread throughout the world. There's another great area for our prayers. And then the third petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. May people obey God's commandments. May they live according to the Bible. May people keep the Sabbath day. May people turn their backs on idols. May the name of God not be blasphemed. May people honor and respect authority. May the law of God be kept. May marriage be raised up and observed according to the scriptures. May God's word be reverenced. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, the angels keep God's will perfectly. How wonderful it would be if our society kept God's will on earth. What a blessed society we would have. And may men and women everywhere obey the gospel, because that's the will of God, commanding all men everywhere to repent, to believe in Jesus. And then, give us this day our daily bread. Pray for the things of this life, for food and clothes and homes and jobs and families and houses and the ordinary things of life, our day-to-day problems and difficulties in our workplace, whatever it is, these mundane things, they have a place in our prayers. Give us this day our daily bread. And then, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our sins, our trespasses. Confession of sin. It's to have a place in our prayers. There's something missing if we don't confess our sins. Come to God with your sins. But our sins have all been forgiven. So why pray, forgive us our debts? Jesus died for our sins and they're all washed away. Ah, yes. But when we sin, we will be corrected and chastised by God. And chastisements are painful. Therefore, we're taught to come praying for forgiveness for our sins. Because if we don't pray confessing our sins, then we're obviously not taking our sins seriously. And the Lord knows how to correct us, to hurt us, and make us feel our sins, to give us, as it were, that smack of discipline. And none of us like being disciplined. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray for deliverance. We're in a war. Satan is trying to destroy us. The world is trying to lead us astray. The flesh within us is craving after the flesh pots of Egypt. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Save us from sinning. Keep us back from destroying ourselves. Don't allow us to backslide. We don't just pray, forgive us our sins, but we also pray, turn us from sinning. Keep us from sinning. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, because we know that we fall very easily. So there we have a brief summary of the sorts of things that we should be praying for. The Lord's Prayer is a great model for our prayers. But then there are obstacles to prayer. What are these obstacles? There can be our own reasoning. Sometimes, maybe we think, well, God knows all my needs. I can't tell him anything. What's the point of praying? God knows everything about me. Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to pray? Because God tells us to pray. God knows our needs, knows them far better than we do. But do we know our needs? And do we appreciate our needs? And part of our praying is so that we will come to face up to our needs and then appreciate the answer of God as he meets our needs. Somebody else might say, well, but God has planned everything. God has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. What's the point of praying? Prayer isn't going to change God's plan. Prayer is not going to alter what God has foreordained. That's true. So why pray? Because prayer is in the plan as well. And the means that God has for bringing about his purposes are our prayers. And therefore we are to pray, and God answers our prayers. We're not to get ourselves tied up in knots over God's decree, God's plan. Secret things belong to the Lord. The revealed things belong to us, and our duty is to pray. Leave the plan to God. You pray. God tells you to pray, and God loves to answer the prayers of his people. Maybe we're saying, well, I've prayed, and I prayed again, and I prayed again, and I didn't get any answer, so what's the point of praying? Well, maybe you prayed for something that wasn't the will of God. Maybe you prayed for something and God's answer was, no, it's not good for you. Or maybe you prayed for something and God said, well, I won't give it to you just now, but I'll maybe give it to you in a year's time or 10 years' time. You see, as somebody put it, God always answers our prayers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says, wait. God answers all our prayers and loves to answer our prayers. And it's never a waste of time to pray. He does not say, seek ye me in vain. He says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if you ask anything in my name, said Christ, it shall be done unto you. So are all these encouragements to pray. We are to pray. We're to look to God for the answer. And we're to wait expectantly for the answer. And we're to realize that sometimes God will answer in a different way to the way we want or we expect, that God's way is best. Maybe you say, well, it's all very well saying, enter into your closet and pray. But I find that really hard. I find it hard to pray. When I go into the closet and close the door, I find that there's all sorts of other things come into my mind. And I think of all sorts of things that I should do and things that I had forgotten to do and things that I must do afterwards. And I think about this and I think about that and my mind is troubled. And in fact, I'm never so distracted as when I try to pray. That's often the case, yes. But as somebody put it, pray till you pray. Pray for help against Satan's distractions. When you pray, Satan will try to stop your praying because he knows it's good. It's glorifying to God and will be a blessing to you. And that's why Satan troubles you when you go into the closet and close the door. But don't give Satan the victory. Don't give up easily. Keep praying. Keep pressing on. Try, of course, before you go in to pray, to get things cleared out of the way that you have to do. Try and have peace in your mind. But you can be sure that there will be distractions. It's not easy to pray, but labor in prayer. Keep going with prayer, and God will help you through, and you will get an answer. One other obstacle. You've just sinned. You've done something, and your conscience is telling you, you're a sinner. You're wicked. How can somebody like you go to pray? God won't listen to you. And you're ashamed. I've done it again. And you think, well, maybe if I wait, I'll feel better later on. Or maybe tomorrow it'll be different. That's the devil. You've sinned. What do you do when you've sinned? Confess it. Confess it. And the sooner you confess it, the better. Tell God right away. Don't let Satan keep you back. Satan says, you're a big sinner. Don't go to God. Don't pray to God. God doesn't want to hear you. But that's Satan. Yes, you're a sinner. And you'll always be a sinner. As long as you're in this life, you're a sinner. A hell-deserving sinner. But come to God as a hell-deserving sinner. And remember, you're not coming in your own merits or in your own righteousness, but you're coming in the name of Jesus. Come as a sinner. It doesn't get any easier by staying away. So these then are some of the obstacles to prayer. Just very briefly, we have in Scripture some wonderful answers to prayer. Think of Abraham's servant sent to Mesopotamia to find a wife for Isaac. He prayed and he got a wonderful wife for Isaac, Rebecca. Think of Hannah. She had no child. Years were going by. She prayed and God gave her Samuel. Think of Joshua. He was fighting his enemies, trying to conquer them. And the day was passing so quickly and he prayed that the Lord would stop the sun in the heavens, that the day would be lengthened. Surely impossible. But the Lord made the day longer so that Joshua got victory over his enemies. Think of Elijah. For 3.5 years there'd been no rain. And he prayed. And the rain came. Think of Hezekiah. Isaiah said to him, Hezekiah, God's told God's telling you, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Well, that's pretty blunt, isn't it? It wasn't the doctor who said you're going to die. It was the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order. And he prayed. And what happened? God gave him another 15 years. Wonderful answers to prayer. Think of Peter in prison. And the church prayed. And Peter got out of prison. And when Peter came and knocked on the door, as the church were praying for him, they couldn't believe it. It took a while before they opened the door to let him in. But that's it. God answers prayer in marvelous ways. So finally, persevere in prayer. Pray when you don't feel like it. Discipline yourself to pray. Make sure that every day you have a time alone with God. A time in your bedroom, a time in wherever quiet place it is, the broom cupboard or the closet or wherever. Time to pray with the Lord regularly. And I would say it's best to do it audibly, because it's easier to keep your concentration if you pray out loud, and it's less easy to be distracted. Pray every day. Have a time of prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Keep on praying, because remember the widow who went to the unjust judge. And he said, I'm not going to give her what she wants because she won't give me a bribe. But she kept coming every day. And so the unjust judge gave her what she wanted. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry unto him day and night? Persistent prayer. Don't give up praying. And you'll get the blessing. There's a blessing in prayer. There's a blessing in prayer itself, because prayer is fellowship with God. There's a blessing in prayer, and there's a blessing in answer to prayer. God loves us to pray. Let us be a praying people.